Certainly, we're glad that you're here today to study again from God's Word. We appreciate those that may be visiting with us. We're certainly glad for that. Invite you back at every opportunity you might have. Coming to the end of the year now, it seems like, and have the different activities, Halloween and Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's coming up, and that's always exciting for families. And I know a lot of you are going to be traveling over the next few months, and certainly we hope you have safe journeys wherever you're going. This Wednesday night, we start our new series in 1 and 2 Samuel. Stephen Partain will be leading us off on that, so do the lesson number one for this Wednesday night. I don't know if he'll cover much of the introduction or not, but it's very short. Go ahead and prepare for lesson number one, and we'll start there. We're very excited over this next year. I was looking at my calendar, already putting down weddings and other things that are going to occur over this next year. And always happy to do those. Excited about the fact that we're going to be grandparents again. So that's exciting. That's exciting. In April, I believe it's going to be Taylor and Evan, and they're having a child, and they're about halfway through the pregnancy. So I ask that you pray for them and the little baby, that everything might go well. We have some detectives in here that have already figured that out through the computer, and so we decided, Taylor gave me the okay to go ahead and to tell that today, but we certainly look forward to that. My computer froze up this week, so I am going from the legal pad today, and I want to go over to 1 Chronicles chapters 28 and 29. 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and 29. I was able to put the points together rather quickly, so there's not going to be hardly any charts today at all. We're at the end of David's reign now in chapter 28 and 29 of 1 Chronicles. And David's come to the end of his life. And he's reflecting on his life. He's told the people already that Solomon is going to be king. He's told them that in 1 Chronicles chapter 23. First part of chapter 23, told them that Solomon was going to be king. But he reintroduces this again. And he talks about what a dying father says to his child. I think about my own experience, and because of my age and my youth at the time when my father passed away, I studied the day. I didn't have him say anything to me that I can remember at all. I know July 16th, 1964, like the back of my hand, though. I know it was 89 degrees that day. I know wind was 10 miles an hour. I know visibility was 8 miles. I know my dad, he arrived at DuPont that morning. He was working at Henderson Electric. About 6:52, I think it was, on the work order. At 10:07, he climbs a pole, doesn't use the boom. They have a cherry picker there as well, but he decides to climb. He has his belt on. He has his spikes in his shoes, and he goes up the pole. Seemed like just a routine day for an electrician. Until about 10:26, when two men notice that something has occurred. And he's laying over in the wires. They take a cherry picker up. Two men, a fellow named Homer, another fellow named Schrader. And they kill the electric and they pull him off the wires and bring him down. They take him to General Hospital, but he's already dead. I know that story like the back of my hand. I've had men, his friends, to take me out there after I became an adult who showed me exactly where he died. But at the same time, it's not like having the ability to have a father to maybe talk to you and tell you different things. Phil's dad died several years ago after he came back to the Lord. And maybe he and Phil had the time to sit and to talk concerning some things. David, his dad, just passed away recently. Took care of his dad. Took care of his dad greatly. And maybe he had the chance. And as you go around the room, whether it's Rick back there, or Danny, or Gary, or Chuck. Mormon had a father that gathered all the family together and talked to them. I had a friend that died in the past year, Forrest Morris is a brother of Rafael Morris who attended here for several years. And Forrest, right before he died, he gathered all of his children together and talked to them about being faithful. About being faithful to God. Maybe somebody like Jeff over here, his dad just died very quickly. Lynn's father died quickly. Cindy's father died quickly. And we can just go around the room and talk to different ones. And when they talk many times, maybe it's logistical matters at first about the fact, well, you need to take care of your mother. You need to maybe sell some property. Maybe you need to move some money over here to this account. But then when it gets close to the end of your life, more serious things occur and want to be said. And this is what happens in Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and 29 that we'll look at this morning. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28, David evidently has been bedfast. His young maiden to come and keep him warm, in fact. But during this time, in chapter 28, it says that David assembled Jerusalem, all the officials of Israel. Verse 1. the princes of the tribes, the commanders of the divisions that serve the king, the commanders of thousands, the commanders of hundreds, the overseers of all the property and livestock belonging to the king and his sons, with the officials and mighty men, even all the valiant men. And as sick as he was, in verse 2 it says, and then David arose to his feet. I've seen this at different times. I've seen a lot of times when a father gives away a daughter in marriage. And maybe they've had cancer, or maybe they've had some other problem, health problem, and they just can't hardly go. But still they want to walk there. They want to walk their little girl down the aisle. Or there's other things that are stated many times by men and women to where they want to stand. And let it be known that I have something important to say. Well, he arises to his feet. King David rose to his feet and says, "Listen to me, my brethren and my people. I had intended to build a permanent home for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God. So I made preparations to build it. But God said to me, 'You shall not build a house in my name, because you are a man of war and have shed blood.' Yet the Lord God of Israel chose me over all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he has chosen Judah to be a leader. And in the house of Judah, my father's house, and among the sons of my father, he took pleasure in me to make me king over all Israel. Of all my sons, for the Lord has given me many sons, he has chosen my son Solomon to sit on the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said to me, 'Your son Solomon is the one who shall build my house and my courts, and I have chosen him to be a son to me, and I will be a father to him. I will establish his kingdom forever if he resolutely performs my commandments and my ordinances as is done now. So now in the sight of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord, in the hearing of our God, observe and seek all the commandments of the Lord your God, so that you may possess a good land and bequeath it to your sons after you forever." There's some things that he wants to say. And he doesn't want to say it in the privacy of his home between just him and Solomon. He wants all these people that have done so much for the kingdom of Israel thus far to be witnesses to the fact of what he has to say to his son. What he has to say to his boy. The first thing that he says, just breaking this down, is, "I have unrealized dreams." Maybe your father had the same thing happen to him. Maybe there's many things your father wanted to do for you. Maybe he was hoping to give you financial security. That's what a lot of fathers want for their, especially for their wives. And then for their children. Maybe there's other things your father wants. But David, he states here that there's some things that I wanted to do. I had the plans. I made the plans. I drew out the plans. I drew out the plans for the temple. I drew out the plans for my house so that we could hold the Ark of the Covenant and this be a footstool for our God. And now his plans are unrealized concerning himself. But he sees there's something more important than himself in this talk, in this encouragement with Solomon. It is not always going to be the fulfillment of your dream. It's not always going to be the fulfillment of my dream. It's not about the fact of what I want. It's not the fact of what David wanted. He wanted him to understand the fact it's about what God wants. Point number one. He says, beginning in verse 11, Then David gave to his son Solomon the plan of the porch of the temple, its buildings, its storehouses, its upper rooms, its inner rooms, the room for the mercy seat. The plan of all that he had in mind, the courts of the house of the Lord, and for all the surrounding rooms, for the storehouses of the house of God and the storehouses of the dedicated things. Here, I want to show you, Solomon, I want to show you what you're going to do. The plans are laid out. Plans may be laid out on the tables to where they can see this is my unrealized dream, but this is going to happen with you because it's not important about me. It's more important that God be glorified. And now Solomon's listening. He says also for the division of the priests, verse 13, and the Levites for all the work of service of the house of the Lord, all the utensils, all the gold, all the silver. He goes through this through verse 18. Then he says verse 19, all this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me all the details of this pattern. And now he tells Solomon, verse 20. Then David said to his son Solomon, be strong and courageous and act. In some of the older versions, it doesn't say act. It says be strong and courageous and do it. Do it. He says, do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you until all the work of the service of this house is finished. Behold, there are divisions of the priests and the Levites for all the service of the house of God, and every willing man of any skill who will be with you all the work of all kinds of service. And the officials also and all the people will be entirely at your command. There's something else, though. He tells Solomon here, you need to be careful. You need to be careful in this message to his boy. He says, you need to be careful because the physical can rob the spiritual. He says in verse 9 of chapter 28. Verse 9, chapter 28. He says, as for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands every intent of thoughts. If you seek Him, He will let you find Him. But if you forsake Him, He will reject you forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be courageous. There he says it again. Be courageous and act. Be courageous and do it. Do it. But the real message here is, when you are building the temple of stones, these temple of stones that are going to be overlaid with gold are going to mean nothing if God is not ruling in your heart. And this was the challenge for Solomon as to what he was going to do. He was going to complete the temple. It was going to be beautiful. But was God going to continue in his heart? That was the message that this dying father was giving to his boy. Wealth has a purpose. When you get to chapter 29 of 1 Chronicles, David not only talks about what taxation had occurred and how they were able to have gold and silver and everything else, but in chapter 29, in the first part of it, David starts to talk about his own physical wealth, what he had attained. And all of this gold and silver and other things that was set aside for the temple of the Lord as well. This was going to be a challenge for Solomon. Not only are you going to build the temple, not only are you going to build the house of the Lord, but you're going to be challenged concerning my own personal wealth as to whether you dedicate this to the temple of the Lord as well, or whether you're going to keep it for yourself. In chapter 29, as he starts to conclude his talk with his son in front of all the leaders, he says, "Then King David said to the entire assembly, 'My son Solomon, whom God has chosen, is still young and inexperienced, and the work is great. For the temple is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now with all my ability, I have provided for the house of my God the gold for the things of gold, the silver for the things of silver, the bronze for the things of bronze, the iron for the things of iron, the wood for the things of wood, the onyx stones, inlaid stones, stones of animal, and stones of various colors, and all kinds of precious stones, and alabaster in abundance. Moreover, in my delight in the house of my God, the treasure I have of gold and silver, the treasure that I have, the treasure that I have, I give to the house of my God, over and above all that I've already provided for the holy temple, namely 3,000 talents of gold, the gold of Ophir, 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the buildings, the gold of the things of gold and of silver, the things of silver, that is for all the done by the craftsmen. Who then is willing to consecrate himself this day to the Lord?'" He's saying to Solomon, there's a reason why all this wealth is here. And all this wealth is here is for the purpose of God. And here's what I want you to do with it. And that was a challenge that Solomon had concerning what he was going to do. And the last thing here this morning, the lesson's yours. At the end of his life, David says a prayer. Somebody was talking to me the other day when I was praying with someone in the hospital. The person said, "You're one of the few people that pray anymore." So I have people that come in and see and leave, and that's it. Well, David wanted to pray. Pray for the people, pray for his son, and to pray that God be glorified first and foremost. David's prayer here, and then we'll end for today. Verse 10, chapter 29. So David blessed the Lord in the sight of all the assembly, and David said, "Blessed are you, O Lord God of Israel, your Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you rule over all. And in your hand is power and might, and it lies in your hand to make great and to strengthen everyone. Now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to offer as generously as this? For all things come from you, and from your hand we have given you. We are sojourners before you and tenants, as all of our fathers were. Our days on earth are like a shadow, and there is no hope. O Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided to build a house for your holy name is from your hand, and all is yours." He doesn't speak like a sovereign, does he? It says in verse 17, since I know, O my God, that you try the heart and delight in uprightness, I, in the integrity of my heart, are willingly offered all these things. So now with joy I have seen your people and are present here, their offerings willingly to you. O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, preserve this forever in the intentions of the heart of your people, and direct their heart to you, and to give my son Solomon a perfect heart to keep your commandments, your testimonies, your statutes, and to do them all, and to build the temple for which I have made provision." Verse 20, then David said to all the assembly, "Now bless the Lord your God." And all the assembly blessed the Lord, the God of their fathers, bowed low and did homage to the Lord and their king. Verse 26 says, "And David the son of Jesse reigned over Israel. The period that he reigned over Israel was 40 years. He reigned in Hebron 7 years and in Jerusalem 33 years. Then he died a ripe old age, full of days, riches, and honor. And his son Solomon reigned in his place." The message. He had unrealized dreams, like all of us have unrealized dreams. But what's important is that God be put first. Be careful that the physical can rob the spiritual. We get caught up sometimes. We get caught up in the physical to where many times maybe we don't want to do the things that are required of us by the Lord. But then maybe it's our Father that brings us back. Wealth has a purpose. And I believe its purpose is to glorify God, because all glory belongs to God. We'd encourage you that if you need to respond to the gospel anyway this morning, to come right now while together we stand and we sing.